Media.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The reason we say real as opposed to fake is the fact that sometimes people give you names of shows that are the same as existing shows. So we have, of course, Don Ecker, who for 20 years has done a show called Dark Matters. And now we have on Sirius XM Radio, Art Bell's Dark Matter. Okay, we've got Inside the Real Area 51.
Where's my lawyer?
Huh? That's right. I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely correct.
That's Donald Schmidt joining Gene and Chris. The book is Inside the Real Area 51. You were going to say about the connection of the two names.
No. I just realized that. You're absolutely correct. And I think especially we see that even song titles and movie titles, everything gets recycled.
You know, like, for example, Man of Steel, the reboot of Superman.
Yes.
There was a movie called Man of Steel many years ago. It was not about, of course, Superman. So, of course, and of course, Dark Skies. Dark Skies was a TV show on NBC.
Bryce Abel, yes.
Was part of the production team, was one of the creators. And then they had a movie called Dark Skies. And it wasn't a bad movie, by the way. But, of course, it had nothing to do with the other. So the movie company owns the title. They'll use it any way they want. Okay. The frustration of Hynek. Now, I remember this conversation because I was there, and the only other two people who were there was Charles Berlitz and Alan Hynek. And I introduced Berlitz to Hynek. I knew Berlitz in the late 70s, and I introduced him to Hynek. And Hynek, at that point, was concerned over how to get more attention to his books. And I guess this is around the time he'd already sold the book for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. How to get more better sales for his book, because he saw that, for example, Berlitz had the Bermuda Triangle and all that.
Roswell incident, yes.
Right. So that was an interesting conversation. I also interviewed Hynek, late 70s, and I could see where he was seeing the UFO mystery was a lot more complicated than he first expected it to be. A lot more involved, and maybe then there was part of his frustration over not getting all the information that would be helpful to reach some conclusions. So tell us what you know about this.
Well, as we describe throughout the book, and it's one of the reasons that, and we've been criticized again by a few colleagues within the field that, well, we didn't need you to rehash the official investigation by the Air Force of the UFO investigation, Project Sign, Grudge, Blue Book, Project Stork, the Condon Committee and all that. But we did all that just to basically set up the two Hynek chapters. As Chris, you mentioned, as far as his frustration, everything that led up even to through the evolution of his acceptance that there was a true phenomenon, and then how sad and how bitter he was at the end, that for all of his years of devotion and commitment in trying to solve the mystery, that the Air Force basically just used him as a patsy. He threatened to resign time and time again with the Air Force, and they always talked him into staying. And then at times they would threaten to fire him if he didn't remain in lockstep as far as their, you know, their official policy on the subject. If he didn't trot right out and always appease the media. And then he truly felt betrayed after the Dexter, Ann Arbor, Michigan sightings, when he was just besieged by
that
swamp gas. But he only intended it to explain away one specific sighting at that time, which involved a farmer over a marsh area. It had nothing to do with all the students and the police and all the other sightings at that time. And he forever had to live that down. And yet it was another example of how the Air Force basically just dangled him out, put him out on a limb, and let him suffer the consequences. We tell the story with Donald Rumsfeld, for example, where the first time that Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense during the Gerald Ford administration, and that Hynek went and paid him a personal visit at his office in Washington, expecting some answers, hoping that for all those years of, you know, assisting the Air Force investigation, that Rumsfeld, you know, could give him a bone, give him a carrot, give him something. And we describe how Rumsfeld gets up from his chair and walks over and leans down over him in total dominance and says, "You have no right to know." Well, that would turn out to be the case right up to the time he would die, that they felt he had no right to know. Senator Barry Goldwater had no right to know. Bill Clinton could tell you that, you know, for his efforts, that he had no right to know. Jimmy Carter, for his campaign promises that he was going to disclose the UFO files should he not threaten national security. You have no right to know. Dwight Eisenhower, in his own memoirs, who was chief of staff of the Army in 1947, who certainly was up to his eyeballs as far as the UFO phenomena. And in his own memoirs, he complains, and here's a five-star general. He complains that after he became president, the Pentagon didn't tell him anything any longer. So, I mean, it's a very taut ship. I mean, we can name others. And Hynek was just an example as a civilian. They used him even up to the time he died. He was the good soldier, and he never was given any closure. And what a sad commentary.
Do you think that he was manipulated, not just not being given the information that maybe he wanted to have, but he was manipulated by the government into maybe providing disinformation?
I know that has been suggested. I know there's even, you know, talk that even in the founding of the Center for UFO Studies, that it was to serve as a conduit should he ever acquire information, that he immediately would turn around and, you know, willingly, you know, pass it off to the Air Force, pass it off to the government as if he owed them anything. No.
Explain to our listeners, you knew and worked with Dr. Hynek.
It was always hard to be with Dr. Hynek because he was so intimidated by the late Carl Sagan that he was always, you know, saying, "Well, what will Carl say? What will Carl say?" Every time he was going to come out with another report or the released results of another investigation or write up another article, "Well, what will Carl say?" He was so concerned. And we would always say, "Well, what should Alan say? What should Dr. Hynek say? You're the authority. You know, just speak your mind." So he was far from putting out disinformation. As much as he also would always, you know, lament, as he would say, "I'm an old man in a hurry, and I just hope that I don't reach that point, that I'm still struggling to come up with answers and still am working on this, still trying to unravel this mystery," as Hynek was, "and still coming up empty-handed." The bearer of disinformation, no. I think he just became more frustrated, as you described, Chris, that he was coming up with a lack of information, lack of solution, lack of resolution. And I think he relied on us all the more to help him come up with, you know, the answers, that he was running out of time. And especially after he took ill at the end, he just became all the more frustrated that he was going to leave this world without any answers.
Well, one of the things that's always kind of struck me, too, is the progression and the evolution of his thinking. Towards the end, I think Jacques Vallée may have finally got to him. He was really looking at this as more of a paranormal sort of a subject as opposed to something, you know, more nuts and bolts oriented. And he was really, at the end, really examining all sorts of out-of-the-box sort of creative thinking and alternative theories about what the whole thing represented in terms of its impact on the culture. And he seemed to be really reaching out because he was so frustrated. I think that may have forced him to go to places that he, as an astronomer, as a scientist, wouldn't have normally gone to.
So much more to talk about, of course, the late J. Allen Hynek. Okay, the book is called Inside the Real Area 51 from Donald Schmidt and Thomas Carey. Donald Schmidt joins us. We'll talk more about Dr. Hynek's thinking in the latter part of his life, and it's something that he kind of confirmed to be in a very brief way when I interviewed him. So we'll have more to say about that. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we all remember that very short scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind where Dr. Hynek is looking over the scene where E.T. lands.
7 seconds.
He got 7 seconds.
7 seconds.
Screen time,
yes.
Legendary. Inside the Real Area 51, Donald Schmidt, co-author. He worked at the Center for UFO Studies with Dr. Hynek. And to summarize it, and now you can expand on it, it appeared that Dr. Hynek was more open to a possible 4D or unusually paranormal explanation to UFOs. He had gone beyond the original ET theory?
Keep in mind, it was the Socorro, New Mexico case from April 1964 that really turned him, because he was starting to see that it was more and more nuts and bolts. In fact, the very last time that I even had dinner with Dr. Hynek before he moved to Scottsdale, Arizona, and I will never forget his pounding his fist on the table when he stated, "Don, it's smacking more and more of nuts and bolts." Now, that was at a time when he himself was getting into the crashed saucer retrieval cases. He was pushing Len Stringfield, who was really the father of such information, such stories, who started to really collect, whether it was Roswell or Aztec or Kingman or Farmington or Kecksburg or other such accounts, these tales, these tall tales of not only UFO sightings, but actual crash retrieval cases. And Hynek saw this as an opportunity to finally not only get some hardcore information, but possibly get to see. He felt that maybe and finally, if we get to the right people, kind of as Goldwater demanding of Curtis LeMay or requesting to see the physical evidence, that if Hynek could build a strong enough case that before it was too late, he might finally also get to see some physical evidence. So he pushed Len Stringfield repeatedly, who was maintaining his vow of silence, you know, that he kept, you know, all of his names confidential. To this day, they're still confidential. And Hynek would meet with Len over and over again, and I was at some of those meetings, and I'll never forget one such meeting at the Midland Hotel in Chicago, Alan finally leaving the motel room saying, "Len, I feel sorry for you that you're, carrying such a burden, but that you just flatly refuse to share it with even someone such as me." So Alan then suggested one last meeting. If I bring a third party in, if I bring someone else who is totally beyond reproach, someone with just the utmost credibility, will you at least reconsider working with us? Again, he was a man in a hurry. He was an old man in a hurry trying to at least have, you know, some final evidence. Most people in the UFO community don't even know who this third party was, but it was the late Neil Armstrong. Armstrong had actually agreed with Hynek that if he could receive the names and they could actually interview, they could actually go out and try to confirm some of these stories, that it would give Hynek this one final bargaining chip that he could go back to the Air Force and say, "What about this case? What about this witness? What about, you know, what you have in your possession? Could you at least give me a glimpse before it's too late?" So I think that's the primary reason that, failing that effort, that he then became all-encompassing. He then sought out psychics and people who were into, as you mentioned, parallel universes and interdimensional travel. And that's why even Jacques Vallée started to look like, if there's anybody that can give me any answers, please. And he was, as the days dwindled down, just hoping that, barring any final phone call or letter from the Pentagon, from even the President of the United States, "Dr. Hynek, can we have a private meeting? Can we show you? Can we tell you something? You've been a good colleague, a good soldier, a good consultant all these years. Let's give you some closure. Let's give you some answers." Never happened. It sadly never happened.
Don, there's one really amazing chapter in your book that really stands out, at least in my mind. I'm a person like many people that really want to look at some sort of physical evidence of actual non-human entities. And your chapter 20, "The Jawbone That Spoke Martian," was very, very compelling, because we do have what is purportedly to be a mold from the jaw of a supposed recovered alien. And
supposedly,
the story of John Mosgrove. And I found this really, really interesting. And I think our listeners will, too.
Yes, Mosgrove had actually served at Wright-Patterson and then as a dental technician at the AeroMed Center. And then he would go on to work at the Veterans Administration Hospital just outside of Dayton. And he was working on the fourth floor of the dental clinic. And he was approached by his boss, one of the technicians at the lab, who brought in this bone, this lower mandible, this mandible bone that he needed to have a cast made, a relief made from this bone, and that he'd be back the next day to pick it up. And he immediately took it to the sink because typically you would wash whatever blood, saliva residue, whatever biological matter may still be on the bone, and it was done. He could see that it had long dried out, that it was something that had aged for some time. But what truly struck him was that it in no way resembled a human jawbone, a human mandible. First of all, it had no teeth. It had nothing that suggested it ever had teeth. There were a few posts, what looked like wooden posts, that would have simply been to hold it open, you know, keep it in an open position, but nothing suggesting teeth, and it was smaller, and it came to a point. So it didn't resemble any animal that he had ever seen as well. So he would cast the mold. The next day, his boss would pick it up, and he would hand him the replica, and his boss then would take the relief. As far as the actual cast relief, and he would crumble it up, and he would toss it into the waste paper basket and said, "You are not to say another word about this. You did not have anything to do as far as with this project. I don't want to ever hear you bring this up again." Well, he waited a few moments after he left, and he started to follow. He followed him from some distance, and he watched from the lobby as he went outside, and he met with two officers who were waiting out in the parking lot.
You know what? We're going to break the story now and finish it in our next segment.
Very good.
All right. We're going to continue this story. It's a cliffhanger, folks. In our next segment with Donald Schmidt, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy biofilms. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Dean and Chris in the Paracast, we're talking to the co-author of Inside the Real Area 51, Donald Schmidt. A fascinating story where this guy goes out into the parking lot, I gather?
Yes. The head technician takes the original bone mandible and this newly cast replica, and he hands it to two officers who immediately take both and place them in a briefcase. They shake hands, and Musgrove, who is watching from the waiting room on the lower level through the glass door, recognizes a colonel that he had served under from Wright Patterson. So to him, it became apparent that they had snuck this relic, this artifact, this bone piece from Wright Patterson.
Right. And just let's put this into a time perspective. This is 1979, so we're talking 32 years down the road.
Yes, correct. And Musgrove then realizing, my God, it's even more important than I thought it was. I just thought it was a unique specimen. And here is somebody at Wright-Patterson who is retrieving this. So he goes back to his lab and quickly takes the crushed relief from the waste paper basket and he reassembles it. He puts it back together and he casts another mold of it, which he then would secure in a bank security box over the next 30 years before he would turn it over to the reporter I had mentioned earlier from NBC News, from the NBC affiliate in Dayton, the late Carl Day. And then Day would keep it secured up until the time he would die in 2010. And we received a replica, an actual mold that is now on display at the museum in Roswell with the full account, as you can read it in the book. So it's been tested by 6 separate paleontologists, and In each case, they conclude, they determine that it is not human, it is not primate, it is not of any animal, and as one stated from the University of New York, that it was not human, that it was something from off the planet. So, again, interesting connection that it appears to have come from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Right, and the photographs in the book are really do make you scratch your head, because it's if it's real in the story, if at face value, if the story is you know, real, I don't know, it's very compelling, but if the story is real, I mean, this could be some really interesting physical evidence that we could look at. And we do have some questions, Don, from our question bank at forum.theparacast.com. And the first one I'm going to ask is actually a series of questions from one of our moderators on the forum. And he says, Don, I like to ask this of many in the field, and it is simply, do you believe in a behind-the-scenes control group whose role it is to keep the UFO reality a secret and to deal with related events as when they come up? And see, what he's saying is that the members can't work forever, so new blood always has to come in all the time. And if Truman or Eisenhower had set this in motion, MJ-12 or some like organization, successive presidents obviously wouldn't have a need to know, as we've discussed. He thinks it's hard to explain how such a group could, for instance, get quickly on the ground in the event of a UFO crash or otherwise cover something up.
So yes, yes.
Basically, what he's saying is this thing has to be, obviously, over the decades, has to be self-perpetuating. So where do you fall down on a MJ-12 or some sort of control group?
Well, I'm a skeptic on the documents, but I believe that the MJ-12 documents are disinformation, that they do have a smattering of truth, but then there are clearly things that are not truthful. The format, I mean, that's a separate show. But certainly there was an oversight committee appointed just to ensure whatever the agenda, whatever the policies were, to transcend the entire event at that time. The problem with presidents, they're walking the street in 4 to 8 years. So even, you know, albeit their commander in chief, that projects have to be maintained. They have to continue. I always cite the example of General Leslie Grove, who was in charge of the Manhattan Project with the development of the atomic bomb. And that even Robert Oppenheimer used to always complain about, who were all these other people with him, these civilians and these other officers. He was kind of paranoid about the fact that he always arrived with this other team, these other people. And I believe that there was a team already in place in the event of an atomic accident, that they had the bomb, that these were precisely the very people that came in and were activated to take charge of the recovery at Roswell. They were the doctors, the nurses, the pilots, the officers, all these people that were brought in to take charge of the incident. So it wasn't a case of they weren't available, that they had to quickly put together such personnel, but they already were there. It's substitute the UFO recovery in place of an atomic accident. To me, it's just that simple. The problem is, has this group existed throughout, you know, the last 66 years? I think we've all been conditioned, we've all been indoctrinated to disbelieve, you know, the subject. We all have this knee-jerk reaction whenever we hear anything UFO related. It's a taboo topic to the media. The old order has not passed it down to the new. I think most have died with the realization that there is something to it. And unfortunately, the new order, in many ways, does not have access to the true data, and as a result, I think it too gets buried beneath the multiple levels, beneath Wright-Patterson or Area 51 or ever anybody believes the truth is still being hidden. And because they can't break the code, they can't find the on button, we may never. I'm one of those who believes there is never going to be any disclosure. It's forever buried, unfortunately.
Yeah. How can you disclose that you're more confused than even the public could possibly imagine?
Exactly.
Well, a question, too, from Gogs Mackay, who's one of our moderators at forum.theparacast.com, where you too, listeners, can sign up on the forum and ask questions of our guests. His second question has to do with the fabled Blue Room, or as it's become to, I guess, kind of erroneously be known as Hangar 18. He says, basically a rumored area at Wright Path that houses all UFO-related stuff, if it exists, must occupy space over or underground. I'd heard someone got recent plans for the whole base, and there was quite an extensive underground component, some having been added on in the not-too-distant past. And you go into actually quite a bit of depth about this particular subject, but he brings up something very interesting, and I think you address this in the book. People have to take out the garbage. The place needs to be cleaned. The HVAC system has to be working. People are having to have access to this particular very highly restricted area. Why don't you describe some of the source and very compelling sources that you've come up with in the book that do give us a tantalizing look at what that particular facility is, and it's not actually Hangar 18. It's a different complex.
It's called Building 18, and it was at one time connected by a tunnel to Hangar 23, which is right next door. And if you were to go to Hangar 23 today, you'd see it's all freshly poured concrete as far as the floor. So it's been sealed off, that underground vault has been closed off. And yet Building 18 consists of Building 18A and B and C and so on. When Hynek, for example, continued as a consultant to controversial aerial phenomena, as his job description was, post-Blue Book from 1970 into 1974. He worked out of that building. He worked out of foreign technology. And as once was said to us at Wright Path, that if you think that the Pentagon is the military's attic, that Wright Patterson is the military's basement.
Sounds like the end scene of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they hide away.
And interesting that you should mention that.
And I'll have to do the break now so we can mention it even further. Donald Schmidt joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Attention homeschoolers, teachers, and students of all ages. Now there's a way to learn English grammar using the Holy Bible. Sacred Grammar is a unique book that teaches all of the fundamentals of English grammar using Bible verses. Affordable and simple to use, it's a superb supplement and a great teacher's aid. Whether your focus is teaching children at home, strengthening your own writing skills, or just speaking proper English, Sacred Grammar offers all the tools you'll ever need. Learn to use words through His Word. For more information, go to sacredgrammar.com at sacredgrammar.com.
In times of disaster, internet and mobile networks will go dark. A wealth of online information will be completely inaccessible. Now, imagine the most extensive survival and disaster preparedness library ever created, with information for every possible scenario still available to you without online access. That's the survival key. Ben Franklin said it best. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Get your survival key at GetSurvivalKey.com. Quite literally, the key to your survival. GetSurvivalKey.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories.
But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Donald Schmidt, co-author of Inside the Real, Area 51, and again with all my cinematic references, and I point out this is popular culture. So things that are actually happening, you know, look, this is what's going on. This is all the stuff that's happened in our society. We mirror that in our movies. So, of course, I mentioned very briefly that the closing scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where Indiana Jones and his girlfriend, they leave this building and then they take the Ark of the Covenant and they bury it in a dusty basement. Or maybe this is a Warehouse 13, which is the sci-fi series. So do we consider maybe that down there at Wright-Patterson base, there is a Warehouse 13?
There was, at least up until the early 80s, as we spell out throughout the book. We always point out that Hollywood hasn't come up with an original idea in the last 50, 60 years. They tend to reflect, you know, the present culture. Even prior to the summer, the wave of UFO sightings in 1947, whether it was Flash Gordon or Buck Rogers, you know, alien spacecraft were still depicted as rocket ships. And it was only after the flying discs and the very term flying saucer was coined in the summer of 47 that the movies started to reflect, you know, the flying saucers. Well, anyway, at the end of the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the Ark of the Covenant is lowered into that crate, and it's nailed shut and stamped top secret, and it's wheeled into that hangar, Warehouse 13, as you mentioned, you know, full of thousands of other hangars. I always mention, I brought that up to Dr. Hynek, because at the time, they were discussing the possibility of doing a sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So I suggested the next time that he should be meeting with Spielberg, ask him that question. You know, what was he inferring? What was he suggesting with that closing scene? And months would pass, and I would get a phone call from Dr. Hynek, and he had just had breakfast in Hollywood with Spielberg that morning. And he said, "Don, you're absolutely correct. Steven," as he would call him, "Steven said that if they should have ever recovered remnants of a flying saucer, of a UFO, that's precisely what they would do if they couldn't figure out the technology. All they could do is create it up and hide it, bury it for all time, you know, to come." Well, then as we remember, in his last Indiana Jones movie, In the Crystal Skull, that's the opening scene, where they go to the hangar, and sure enough, that's where they have the locker with one of the bodies you know, recovered from Roswell in 1947. So it picked up where that first Indiana Jones had left off. So again, Hollywood mirroring, you know, reflecting the current culture. So was there, is there, there was such an underground facility at Wright-Patt.
Well, that's the question then. So maybe E.T., the bodies, maybe the spaceship from Roswell, if they did recover that, it's being kept on ice, it's dusty, moldy, and they gave up looking at it years ago.
Or, as one of the officers described to it, and you brought it up, one of the great things, and maybe that's where such a facility as Area 51, where the only surveillance you truly have is via satellite, and as much as it may be underground, you have total containment. You have no fear of information leaking out. The problem that developed with Wright-Patt is that you're in the middle of a city. And as one of the officers said to us, they had a hell of a time keeping the information as far as bringing it materials through downtown. They were basically bringing materials, and I'm not talking UFO. I'm talking about secret technology, whatever they were experimenting with, that they were basically conducting their research late at night because it was the only way that they could do anything as far as under the cloak of secrecy of being in the middle of a populated area. And I would suggest the same for the same reason that they cleared everything out 30 years ago, that they just found it more and more impossible to keep, you know, their deep, dark secrets, that the next Barry Goldwater was going to come knocking. And they could honestly say, there's nothing here. We don't have anything here. And they wouldn't be lying about it.
A good way to get plausible deniability, huh?
Exactly.
So we have maybe 4.5 minutes left for the segment. So let me ask you the deep, dark question, the difficult question of you and your co-author. How do we prove any of this? I mean, there's a lot of fascinating information in your book, a lot of thought-provoking information, but if there's something over there at Wright-Patt, it's still secreted away. If it's being kept at some kind of subsurface level, we can't get to it. So what do we do next?
We continue to seek out the physical evidence. We're having, for example, our fourth archaeological dig at the Roswell debris field just coming up. And so we keep performing our own due diligence. As we realize we're racing with the Undertaker, we're running out of the World War II generation, as evidenced by the loss of even Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. just a few weeks ago.
Right.
We're now losing the children of the eyewitnesses. And as a result, all we can continue to do is seek out the physical evidence. Find the Bill Brazel Jr.'s who still may have a cigar box hidden someplace, some attic, some basement that still has, after all these years, used the piece of material as a bookmark. And the family isn't even aware that they're sitting on the find of the millennium. We're the ones that are going to continue knocking on the doors. We're going to be the Barry Goldwaters who, beyond just let me see, well, we know we're going to have the door slammed in our faces. I was denied, you know, access the last time. I just wanted to bring a film crew to Wright-Patt. But we're going to be the ones still tracking down every surviving individual. We're going to continue seeking out, you know, the evidence that may still be at the site, that may still wash to the surface after that next rainstorm. And if anyone is going to do it, it has to be us. We're the proactive investigators, and I don't see anyone else lining up to do it.
That's a big problem right there, getting the younger people interested in following through, because when we're gone, as we will be gone, unless we all live forever, who is going to pick up the axe or the cudgel, or who is going to follow through?
Pardon? They're not going to pick up the gauntlet. No, you're correct. There's no money in it. There's no future in it. It's one of the things whenever we're approached by younger people, the subject has become so complicated and so diverse in opinion And those, the hardcore believers who just, you know, well, why are you people wasting all your time, you know, searching for physical evidence? You know, it's unnecessary. They've been here. They're living amongst us. They've been abducting people. We have all the answers right under our noses. And I was a skeptic, and it's become a conviction. It's not a belief, and as Dr. Hynek schooled us very well in that when you conduct your own research, no one can take that away from you. But sadly, as you pointed out, Chris and Gene, there are no young people lining up to be passed the torch, that if we don't finish it, I'm afraid that it's going to die with us as well.
Donald Schmidt, please tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
Well, the book is certainly available at Barnes & Noble and, of course, Amazon.com. Our website is www.RoswellInvestigator.com. And we continue our efforts. At least we are providing the testimony, the eyewitness accounts of the witnesses as they pass on, that we represent their best information. And we will continue as long as we are alive. Until we come up with a resolution, we're going to continue to leave no stone unturned.
And Chris leaves no stone unturned on his site, OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. And you can find us over at theparacast.com or go to forum.theparacast.com. And one more thing, you can find us on Twitter, where we're known as The Paracast. Donald Schmidt, thanks for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thank you, Gene and Chris. I enjoyed it very much.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.